Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
In these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire.
Come on, sing.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God. All that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.
Ask him for it.
Set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out.
Lovely morning, and welcome again to another edition of Morning Dew. You're tuned to Radio Africana, and it's a pleasure as always to be with our listeners. Right, gracefully broken. Yeah, listen. Except a grain of seed fall to the ground and die, except it is broken, it abideth alone. The Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Good morning, lovely people. Let's just commit our session to the Lord this morning, this lovely Sunday morning. Father, we thank you as always for the privilege of another new day. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle that is sleeping and waking. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of our listeners that have been able to wake up this morning and are tuned in to this session. Lord, we just ask that you take total control. We ask for the presence of your Spirit to be in abundance, to be in bountiful supply, to lead us in the way that we should go, navigate us through the scriptures, help us glean and come to a place of understanding, you know, eyes that will be open, ears that will be able to hear, and grant us hearts that will be able to understand what it is that we're sharing this morning. And at the end of it, Lord, let it bring us to a place of spontaneous praise and thanksgiving for that which only you could have done. You remain our shield and our buckler. You are our help in ages past, and you are our hope even for years to come. Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless your name. Thank you for this day that is today. Thank you for all our listeners, their family, everyone connected and rooted to them. Thank you, Lord, for their aspirations, their plans. Thank you, Lord, for how far you've brought them in the year 2025. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. Lord, we just commit today's session unto you. Guide us through each and every one of our deliberations. And at the end of it, Lord, we ask that we will always be thankful, grateful for having spent time in your presence. This we ask of you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Okay, so where do we start? We want to look but kind of like where we left up last week. And I remember we did have a little glance into the book of Romans, you know. And so this morning session, I would like to title Dealing with the Conflicts and Contradictions of Being Called. So you're called, you're born again, but there's a lot of conflicts. There's a lot of contradictions. How do we deal with those conflicts and contradictions? You know, in our lives, we go through lives, you know, and I did, I think it was Romans 7 last week we were looking at. And we find that sometimes with a lot of struggles, some things don't work out as planned, or the way we interpret or understand the scriptures, it's not how it's panning out. So we struggle, we have challenges. And when we carefully look, we find that certain truths are not taught, and many struggle to get an understanding of certain of these truths, even when taught these truths. So you can be taught the truth, which we talk mental ascent and having an understanding from that standpoint, but grasping it, you know, experientially and being able to apply ourselves now becomes a challenge. And so that's what took us into Romans chapter 7. The things I know not to do, I find myself doing, you know. And he discovered there seems to be another law operating in my members, you know. So we read that as our key scripture. Again, be good to refer to it, Romans chapter 7. All right. Actually, the teachings that in Romans explaining, you know, our condition, explaining the contradictions or conflicts we may, you know, find ourselves involved in, and the solutions that have been made available are a very powerful teaching in the book of Romans, you know. So I just thought maybe today to have a soft landing, bring some more clarity, we want to look at a few things. So let's start with Romans chapter 6, and I'll be reading from verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" All right, so a clear distinction. We can't live in sin anymore and ask for grace to abound. Certainly not. That will not be the way we go about things. Okay. And those who have also died to sin, okay, we can't live in it anymore. So there has to be a change. So this is where the conflicts and some of the contradictions come in. Verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So if you're baptized, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and baptized, you know, you were baptized into his death. "Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death. Okay, not just as Christ was raised, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So his death, burial, and resurrection, and we identifying with the same, brings us into the newness of life. All right, so that's the important message for that part of Romans chapter 6. All right, and verse 5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, so reinforcement there. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Okay, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Amen and hallelujah. All right, so knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over me. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, we also reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is Romans chapter 6. I've just read from verses 1 to 11. So, our identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ brings us into new life. And the conclusion here is, likewise, we also should reckon ourselves as dead indeed to sin. Alright, so he died, you were identified with him, then reckon yourself dead to sin. Think of yourself as dead to sin. Live your life like you're dead to sin. That's what the scripture is telling you. The challenge, you know, we'll find out in a few minutes as we go into our study today, is the way we understand that, the way we've been taught to understand that, and the way we apply ourselves becomes, you know, a big challenge. Okay, so I'll leave that, and then let's jump a bit down to 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under sin. All right, so very important. And again, we see the question. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves to obey, that you are the one's slaves, and whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? All right, so I'll just use that as our introductory text. So we've looked at Romans 6, 1 to 11, then we did 14 down to about 16. All right, as an introduction. Okay, so let's try and get some lift off here on this scripture. So there are things about our lives. Like I said, we deal with conflicts, we deal with contradictions, and we know we're called, we know we're born again, we identify with Jesus, we have been, you know, baptized with Jesus. And what does all of that mean? However, in spite of that knowledge, head knowledge, we find the reality of living our lives out in a Christ-like manner to be a challenge because of a couple of things. The nature of sin, which we need to understand, the presence of sin from which we have not been delivered, and the power of sin which has been broken. So you need to understand those three components and how to deal with them in your growing, in your walking with the Lord. Okay? And so, like I said earlier, a lot of people struggle. And only after many years of struggling, learn from their experiences these truths we're talking about. Right? Whichever school of thought, either you came through the school of hard knocks through your experiences, or you were taught and you had to come to a place of having an understanding, okay, we arrive at learning very valuable truths. And these truths that we, you know, recognize and value help us in our journey, right? So then we discover from whichever of the paths that we have traveled, right? And that's how we are where we are now. So you have those who've still going through the school of hard knocks. They've not learned their lesson. You have those who have been taught and they're still trying to come to a place of understanding. And there are those who haven't even, you know, subjected themselves to any school of thought. So they're completely oblivious of these truths. Okay? But the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. Alright? So when you will know the truth that is capable of setting you free is another issue. So there's a time involved, there's a process. Now, we may, for example, be in a fellowship that teaches us to seek, you know, out for holiness, to, you know, live a life of holiness, which is a good virtue. However, we could, in our attempt to do what the scripture is instructing us, okay, depend on our flesh rather than on the Holy Spirit. And then we seem to still struggle, not coming, you know, not coming out of the habits or the nature, the behavior. And it's like, what's going on? You know, and people who are observing you come, I thought you said you were born again. I thought you said you are a believer. You know, what you are living, your life seems to be a contradiction to what you preach, what you talk about. And that becomes the conflicts and some of the contradictions we have to deal with as born again Christians. Okay? Right, so like I said, the main issue here, we could be depending a lot on the flesh rather than the Holy Spirit, and so we continue to struggle, right, and not understanding the nature of sin, the presence of sin, and the power of sin. So we just read Romans chapter 6, and 6:14 says, sin shall not be master over you, all right, for you are no longer under the law. So let's look at a couple of things. Let's look at that 16, Romans 6, and then go into some more detail. So I want to read some more parts of it, coming from 14. So if sin shall not have dominion over us, it's not a suggestion, it's an instruction. This is the truth. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But what do you do when you find that you are still under the dominion of sin? Is it to doubt the scriptures? Is it no longer true? Or is our interpretation and the way we live our lives the problem here? Okay? It says, for you are not longer under the law. You know? Right. So then 15 says, that's Romans 6:15. What then shall we sin? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves to obey? Now, this is the important thing. There are a couple of things you are dealing with, and whichever you yield yourself to obey, his servants, all right, you are to whom you obey. So whether the Bible says of sin unto death, so I mentioned last week that there's the law of sin, it leads to death. So if you yield to obey the teachings or the tendencies or the promptings or the temptations, they will lead you into death if that's the way you go. Or of obedience to the scriptures, the instructions of the word of God, unto righteousness. It's your choice. So you stand at this crossroads and you have to make a choice. Do I yield myself and my members to the law of sin and death, or to, in obedience to the law of life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus? Now, verse 17 says, but thank be to God that ye were the servants of sin, past tense, but ye have obeyed from the heart, right, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Now, I'll stop here because it's very important. We first want to thank God we're not in a dilemma. We want to thank God that God has made a way, okay? And we find that we can be servants to sin, but we have obeyed from the heart. So with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have obeyed from the heart, right? And it says a form of doctrine, right? So which was delivered to you. So, you know, it was delivered to you, it was taught to you, it was brought to you. All right, again, how was it brought to you? Was that what was brought to you? Are you having the right teaching and the right doctrine? Are you having this form of doctrine the Bible is talking about here? All right, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. So if you were taught the truth, you know, if you were taught the truth and you've obeyed according to that teaching, then you've yielded yourself to the truth. And it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. So this is the manner of all men because of our infirmity in the flesh, because of our weakness. It says, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, right, unto iniquity, okay, and unto iniquity, one iniquity after the other, even so now that you have come to the understanding, the truth that this doctrine brings, yield your members, okay, servants to righteousness and unto holiness. All right, so you yield your members servants to righteousness and then unto holiness. But you trying to get to holiness without understanding how to yield your members, then the struggle will continue. For then we were servants of sin, right? And ye were free from righteousness. So you have been made free from righteousness. 21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So we see where that former path took us to. And verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and becoming servants of God, ye have your fruits in holiness and the end everlasting life. So this path that you're taking leads you in the direction of holiness, leads you in the path of life eternal. Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So that's a long read, but it's really breaking things down. So we need to understand the nature of sin. We need to understand what has been done to that, you know, sinful environment that we live in terms of dealing with the power of sin, and then the presence of sin. We still live in a sinful world, all right, but because of what has been done, we have the option to yield our members not to unrighteousness, not to the things that are contrary to the scripture, but to the word of God, the instructions of the word, and it will take us right. And the important thing was here, he said, as we obey, right, that which has been delivered, we will find ourselves being delivered from, you know, the influence, the hold, the dominion of sin. And so that's why Romans 6:14 says, you know, sin shall not be master over you, for you're no longer under the law but under grace. Right, some other scriptures talk about, is the law sin? And not at all. The law is not sin. The Bible makes us to understand that the law was a school teacher, and because of the law, we are able to come to understand our weaknesses, our infirmities. So the law was pointing out our weaknesses. All right, the law made us aware that we could not meet up with all its requirements, and so we needed a savior. Now, what does this mean, and how can this be applied to our walk with God? Very interesting questions. So we've looked at Romans 6:9-14. The apostle communicates a key concept of justification referred to as imputed righteousness. So a righteousness has been imputed to us. He's teaching Christians how they can experience freedom from the control of sin over their lives, or the power of sin, okay? And when Christ died, all right, and was resurrected from the dead, the victory that he achieved, the victory that was won, right, over sin and death, has been imparted to all who believe in his name. That's so important, and received him as their Lord and Savior. So that's what happened by his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, before salvation, sin was like a slave driver, master over us. Now, as prisoners of Christ, we've yielded ourselves to him as, you know, his servants, to take instructions under his government. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1, it says, we no longer live under the requirements of the law but under the freedom of God's grace. So let's look at what Ephesians chapter 3 and 1 to 2 tells us. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 to 2, it says, for this reason, because I preach that you are thus built up together, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Christ Jesus Christ, for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles, right? Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, His unmerited favor. So you have heard this doctrine, you have heard this preached to you about His unmerited favor that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit. All right? So the apostle had come to recognize this truth. He's come to also take on board the responsibility to preach, okay, and to dispense this truth. So when we're talking about the struggle that we mentioned at the beginning, you know, you've either not heard the truth, you've either not been taught the truth, or you're going through the school of hard knocks and you still haven't been able to gain an understanding through that school of hard knocks. Whichever way, you will come to know the truth, and the prayer is that may the truth set you free. Now let's look at Romans chapter 4, a couple of verses. Romans chapter 7 again, the beginning, which is where we were in last week, and pick up some more things. It says, Romans chapter 7 from verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law." Okay, so you become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. So when you look, you know, at the beginning of Romans, he was talking about, you know, a woman in adultery is, you know, by law, you know, under the government of her husband until he dies, and then she's able to come under a new, so, you know, government control, what's it, rulership, leadership, that's the right word. All right, so he's saying, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also became dead to the law by the body of Christ." So you become dead to the law under whose, you know, dominion you were before through the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. Like the woman who, you know, her husband has died, can now be married to another. She's free from that law that kept her bound to her first husband, even to him who is raised from the dead, right? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. All right, so there is now that liberty we have as sons of God under Christ, okay, to come in to this new life and to bring forth fruits unto God. Verse 5 says that when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did walk in our members to bring forth the fruits of death. So now you are not under the emotions of the emotions of death, are not under the control of the law of sin and death, but now we are delivered from that law, that being dead wherein we were held, okay, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the latter. Really worth taking your time to break this down, study it, and look at it from different versions. Galatians, I think it's 2 and verse 19. Let us just look at what it says. Verse 19 says, "For I through the law am dead to the law." So you're through one law, you are liberated, and you are dead to another law. We talked about that last week. They said there's a superior law, the law of sin and death, but you are not under that law. You are now under the law of the life in Christ Jesus, which is a superior law. So it negates, it annuls the impact of the lesser law. So it says, but if you, now this is verse Galatians 2, I'm reading from verses 18 now. It says, "But if while you seek to be justified by Christ," if that's your aim, "we ourselves are found sinners." Okay, so as we seek to be justified by Christ, we in the new system are found to be sinners. "And if therefore Christ, the minister of sin," okay, "is therefore Christ the minister of sin?" God forbid, that's not what he's saying here. No, not at all. Verse 18 says, "For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor." So you cannot use the old methods that you've used to live and say you're destroying the old law, the old method. No, some things has to change. All right, you become a transgressor. So he says, verse 19, "For I through the law I'm dead to the law, but I might live unto God." Okay, that I might live unto God. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Okay, so we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right, so that's our new stature, our new status. And verse 22, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So righteousness did not come by the law. Righteousness came by the personality of Jesus, came by the truth. And that's why you shall know the truth. And it's that personality, it's that truth that will set you free. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and carry on with this very interesting session we're looking at, conflicts and contradictions of being born again, the conflicts and contradictions of being called. See you on the flip side.
Worship idols that have no power, that have shed no blood. We return and we repent and we destroy.
Good morning, top of the morning to you. If you're just joining us, we just had a break. Yes, you're tuning to Morning Dew, and today we're still in our walk with the Lord and dealing with the conflicts and contradictions of being called. Have you ever sometimes settled down in your work and I'm born again, I know I'm called, okay, but then there are conflicts, there are a lot of contradictions, there are things you struggle with, particularly the issue of sin in our members, you know, and that's what we've been looking at from last week, you know. And you first jumped into Romans chapter 7, and a couple of things we need to understand. We started coming in contact with very important, you know, terminology, law, right? The law of sin and death, the law of life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So there are laws, you know, on how do they affect us. And so I did say that the law is not something you mess around with, very powerful. So when you're under a law, it has governance, it has impact, has influence over your life. And so when we look at Romans chapter 7, the first part of chapter 7, let's just look at it, was trying to explain to us about law so that we understand some things about the law. So Romans chapter 7, let's start from verse 1. It said, "Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law," all right, so that you understand something about the law, "that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives, right? And then it goes on in verse 2, it says, "The woman who has a husband is bound by the law," right, "to her husband as long as he lives." All right, so law has dominion over a man as long as the man lives. So you constantly are under the impact of one law or the other as long as you live. All right, one law or the other as long as you live. Then he gives an example here. It says in verse 2, it says, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law," okay, "to her husband as long as he lives," right? "But if the husband dies," the Bible says, "and she is released from the law of her husband." Okay, so if the husband dies, she is now released from the law of her husband. And verse 3 says, "So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress." Do we understand how the law works? So as long as the husband is living, if she marries another man, she'll be accused of adultery. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. So let's understand, people, we live under laws, okay, one or the other, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. So under certain conditions, it is okay to marry another man if the first husband has died. "Therefore, my brethren, you," this is what the Bible is saying, "also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." So that's what we're looking at in Galatians. Because of this law, we are free from the law. So one law liberates you from another law. All right, depending on how the dynamics or what the terminologies are. So that's what we need to understand. So he says, "You also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." So you've been dead to the law, the old time law, the Mosaic law that we know about, through the body of Christ, "that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that you should bear fruit to God." So this is the prerequisite. This is the important thing that we need to understand, how it is we are liberated from the law of sin and death, and how we come under the law of life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So like I said, you know, at the beginning, there's some things we need to understand. And first, we need to recognize that we're under laws, and you must have an understanding. We need to have a clear understanding of the laws that we're under. We need to have a clear understanding of the sinful nature that is around us, okay? And it's very, very nature, its dynamics, how it works. We need to have an understanding of its power, which was broken by the, you know, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the victory that he won. The power over sin is being broken. But we need to also recognize we're still in the world, and so we're not delivered from the presence of sin. So the Bible says, "Be ye not conformed to the world, be of the world, but not of the world." So you stay in an environment where the sinful nature, the sinful, you know, tendencies, projectiles, think very false teachings, lies, all the things that are sinful operate. But you must learn, you've been liberated, okay, from the limitations, okay, that you had through the flesh in living under the law, and you are now living in Christ Jesus, the superior law, right? So you must understand the Word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Word of God is in you, must dwell in you, for it to have expression in and through your life. The word of God as a seed must dwell in you. It must be nurtured. It must grow to have expression of the life of God both in you and through you to your world. In the converse, if you're not having the seed of the word of God, then there's not going to be the fruits that come from having that seed sown, that fruit being cultivated and developed, and subsequently it will not reflect or have expression in your life. Alright, so that's the important thing we need to understand here. So we just read Galatians chapter 2, 17 to 21, giving us some more examples. Now let us look at some other verses. Because we belong to Jesus, the power of the life-giving spirit has set us free from the power of sin that leads to death. I'll take that slowly. Because we belong to Jesus, because we've accepted Jesus, the power of the life-giving spirit has set us free, okay, from the power of sin and death. So when I said you need to understand the nature of sin, right, it's still here, it's still existing, but you have been liberated from its power. Okay, Christ won the victory over sin. Christ has given us that victory, imparted that victory, imparted that righteous nature to us to live above sin. Are we catching these people? So there's a liberation for the sons of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, NLT also says, we are no longer obligated to do what our sinful nature urges us. Okay? We are no longer obligated to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. So when you get those promptings, this is Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, New Living Translation. So we want to make a couple of things clear here. Let's look at another version, King James Version. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are no longer debtors to live after the flesh. You've been liberated from that captivity. You've been set free from that bondage. You've been empowered to live above the captivity, the influence, the power of sin. It says sin shall not have dominion or master over you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Now, Amplified puts it this way. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature. So there's a nature of sin, the carnal nature, to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. You have been liberated by the rules, the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. You must know that. Reckon yourself dead to this system. Reckon yourself dead to sin, okay, by this revelation. Now Romans chapter 6 verse 9 explains that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. So if death has no dominion over Christ, and you are identified with through your death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, then you live also unto the newness of life. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. And so we become beneficiaries of that reality. It's important that we understand this. So Romans chapter 6 verses 9 and 10. Paul clarifies how we can experience what Jesus experienced. In the same way, he says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay? On the strength of what has been said, you need to count. To count is to consider. To count is to reckon. To count is to think, to credit yourself. Okay, so credit yourself with this same victory. In the same way that Jesus is free from sin and death and alive to God, we must reckon ourselves, we must think of ourselves as free. If I say nothing today, that's what we want to understand in our session today. Okay, we get to credit, and then we talked about application. So you come to know the truth, then we apply to ourselves the same truth that applies to our Savior. amen somebody, right? So it starts first with the right teaching, the right information, the right doctrine, the right knowledge, and then the right application, pointing you in the right direction. And then if the reality that he came to, you know, show us the way, he dealt with sin, the power of sin has been dealt with, and then we understand the nature of sin, and as a, you know, it conforms to laws, then we know that we're liberated from the power of sin. Amen, somebody. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and try and see how much more we can cover this very interesting topic. We're looking at the conflicts, the contradictions of you being called in your walk with Christ. See you after the break. Welcome back. Lovely, lovely track there, The Victor's Crown. Yes, he went to the cross. He took upon all our sins, our shortfalls. He paid the price. He met the Father's requirements of justice. And because he lives, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected, we too can live in the newness of life. And that's really the bottom line about what we're talking about here. You must come to an understanding of that reality. You must come to an understanding of what he did, what his death, burial, and resurrection signifies in terms of your battle, you know, with the law of sin and death. He set us free, you know. And when I look at where we started last week, we talked about Romans chapter 7. It says, "For I know that in me, right, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice." You know, so this is the conflict. This is the contradiction that a lot of people find. And then they're trying to find a solution. But then they go to the way they've been taught. You know, okay, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to will to do it. It's not by power. It's not by might. You need the divine intervention. You need to come under the umbrella. You need to come under the covering of Jesus. You need to come under the superior law that broke the impact of the old law. The limitations, what that law was not able to do for you, the law of the life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So it's law, it's a life, it's in the Spirit, and it's in Christ Jesus. Very important, you know. And so that law, that life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus is what liberates you. But if you're going to just want to like deal with it in your own understanding, as if by power, as if by mind, it's not something that you can overcome. So we have overcome because of what he did. So we come under the banner of Jesus. We come under the covering of Jesus. We come under the faith of the Son of God to believe that we have been set free, to believe what he achieved, to believe that because he lives, we too can live, to reckon ourselves dead to sin, okay, so that we can live into this, you know, freedom that is for the liberty of the sons of God. So lovely people, you have been born again, right? You have been called. Yes, it is a fact, it's a reality. But there are these conflicts, there are these contradictions that still linger within your members because you still live in a fallen world. Even though the power of sin has been broken, you need to know how to take advantage of that, to live outside the grip of that system, and to live in the liberty of the sons of God. So it's something which, you know, like I said at the beginning, a lot of people will struggle because it takes time to get an understanding of, right? But as soon as you understand the very nature of sin, the very power of sin, okay, and the fact that we're still within the presence of sin, one day we'll be liberated from the presence of sin. But we are in the world, not of the world, and we've been empowered to live above sin, okay? And the Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. All right, so let's look at Romans chapter 8. Okay, I think I mentioned chapter 8. I read a couple of versions. It says, so we're not ruled by the standards that are set, you know, by the dictates of the law in the flesh. That's not what you're ruled by, right? And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 9, explains that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, right? Death no longer has dominion over Christ. So if we die in him and we are raised in him, as we identify in our baptism, for the death that he died to sin once and for all, then we reckon ourselves that we too are dead to sin once and for all, and we live and we're alive to live, okay, to God in Christ Jesus. All right, so you have to be under the banner, you have to be under the superior law that liberates the sons of men, that takes you into the liberty that you'll be reading in the Bible, the things that God wants to bless those as an inheritance and a blessing. But it is in your obedience. The Bible says you shall come to know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. So count yourself, consider yourself, reckon yourself to think and credit yourself with this truth. All right, as it applies to Christ, so are you. So Christ's freedom is now our freedom. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because it has no mastery over Christ, and so cannot. It's not one law for Christ and another law. No. We are in Christ, so whatever applies to Christ, whatever benefits that are accrued to Christ, there are benefits, and the blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow will grant us the liberty, grant us the manifestation of the things that are ours, our inheritance, the things that are promised to us as children, you know. So it's so important that we really, really get this understanding. I know it's been a mouthful again today, but I just really wanted us to come to that place where we understand the conflicts that we're, you know, dealing with, and why people struggle, you know, and why sometimes they may be trying to apply the truth of the word in the wrong dimension, as if it's by power. It's not by power, it's not your strength. The Bible says it's not of him that willeth. So though the will is there, we saw that in Romans chapter 7, right? You can will it all you want, but the capacity to do what is right is another thing. You need that enablement, and that's where grace comes in. It's divine enablement, the things we're not able to do on our own. The grace of God is available. The ability. Grace is God's unlimited favor. Okay? Grace grants us ability to be able to do things that the normal man, the carnal mind, is not able to do. But by the Spirit of God working in and through us, we're able to achieve and to step into those places of victory. It's your obedience that releases the blessings and the provisions of God into your life. We'll talk about that in more detail in the next session when we meet again next time. So lovely people, it's been a pleasure being with you once again. Thank you for your time. I really hope you have a lovely rest of your Sunday. Till we meet again same time on the same channel on Morning Dew here on Radio Africana. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye for now.
That's my rock, that's my anchor.